Welcome, everybody. Chuck and Julie show. We're here, non-quarantined, but in our basement, as we should be, being
world headquarters of the Chuck and Julie show.
World headquarters and so forth. And we're brought to you by, Julie,
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. That's Colorado's conservative voice, one of the websites we check out every day. Actually, you should go there. They'll get a great story. Their lead story today is asking a survey question. Do you think what they're calling Governor Polis's socialist mandate goes too far? So far, it's like a million saying yes, and like one person who was Polis's secretary saying no. I mean, the overwhelming response on that is yes. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got coming up here pretty quick, Michael Taub. You've seen him before. He's an investigative columnist. And, you know, these are serious questions. And we're going to talk about, I guess, in this show, when is it too much? When does it go too far? What should we do? How should we handle it? And he kind of breaks down the numbers. And I think that that's important that we have some facts to talk about it. Also, just so you know, at 3:30, we're going to have a change of pace because you can only, I think, talk about coronavirus so much. But we're going to talk about fun stuff like politics in Colorado.
And money. So
let's go.
Let's just have the fun stuff going for Wednesday hump day.
Exactly. Campaign Integrity Watchdog Matt Arnold is going to be talking about that.
I just got back from the newspaper where we're putting out our issue, and you can just feel the state contracting, its economy contracting. You go on the roads, there's nobody, but incredibly light traffic. Restaurants are closed other than some takeout. Go by golf courses, they're all closed. Not everything is closed, but a huge amount of the business in the state is closed. The governor has, by his very own, managed to create a recession. We won't know that for a couple of weeks, but I promise you it's a recession. The unemployment rates are just skyrocketing. The amount of people applying for unemployment
it crashed the system.
It crashed the system.
Right.
And it's just amazing. I mean, he's closed down oil and gas, both directly by over regulating it. And then, of course, the world.
Nothing to do with coronavirus.
Yeah. And then the market itself with oil so low. That's killing that industry. He killed the ski industry, which is a lot of the tourism of Colorado. Nobody's doing conventions in the state. He's killed the restaurant business. He's killed the hotel business. He's killed the retail business. He made his tens of millions off of internet sales, so he's okay.
Well,
that's the trouble, having a multimillionaire who spent $20 million on his own just to get elected. He doesn't care.
And
it's so easy, and you can't blame Paul. I guess you can blame him, but the idea is, I want to get ahead. You know, okay, so I tank the state, but you know, nobody can accuse me. I'll be fine, and you know, nobody accused me of killing old people, so I'm all set. But the economy, you can just feel it. I mean, you just go outside,
let's talk a little bit about in Italy now. They've had 31,000 people out of a population of 60 million diagnosed with the virus. 2,500 have died. Of those 2,500, only 12 did not have significant underlying serious health issues.
Which means that their life expectancy was relatively short.
Yeah, was not. So here comes my question, and I'm going to be honest, Chuck. I don't really know the answer, but I want.
Well, that's why we have me here. That's why we have the other half here.
But here's the thing. I think though it is. In America, still, they have not taken this away from us, our right to ask the question. And it made you say, I don't have the answer.
So if it's not politically correct question, you're allowed to ask.
And you know what? And actually, we have a little bit here. I mean, we both are in the at-risk age category, right? I mean, no, we don't look at. Chuck is not. No, we both are there. So listen, it's not like we're like a couple of millennials just coming back from spring break saying, hey, we don't care about the boomers. We are boomers. So we're at the at-risk. We care about boomers deeply. But here's my question. I wonder. Given the statistics where, you know, and you can see some of these government officials, I think they take and extrapolate these massive numbers of people or millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people, 150 million people are going to die. There is nothing anywhere, at least yet, that substantiates or supports that. That's an asteroid hits the earth in the middle of the coronavirus, right? 150 million will die. I think this is a key sort of study. So there was that Princess cruise ship, right? Where everybody got, the coronavirus hit there. And
we're going to have to rename that.
So 8 weeks out, okay, there were 3,711 passengers and crew on board. Of that, 705, so out of 3,700, 705 were diagnosed with the virus. Of that, 7 died. I mean, even the head of the CDC is now telling Congress that he expects, as we do more tests and we see that this is widespread, yes, but the fatality rate is extremely, is less than 1%. It's lower, in fact, is what they're beginning to think, than the seasonal flu.
Well, that's so only let's 1 go back. 1%.
Right. That's, well, and that's talk about the seasonal flu, okay? The seasonal flu, which no one even heard about, right? Was that in the news at all? No. They estimate between 22 and like 52. It's a big break because they don't know. I mean, not everybody's diagnosed, but 52,000, up to 52,000 people died. I think this is worldwide of the seasonal flu.
Oh no, a lot more.
You know. I guess in the United States, we didn't shut down the economy. We didn't do, and the people who were at risk knew they were at risk, and most of them, as always, had the underlying health issues too. So here's
let me ask you this: they keep on telling us, and you gotta sort of use your own brain when they. The media tells you things.
Right.
They constantly tell you this has a much higher mortality rate than other seasonal flus. Now, other seasonal flus affect the young, the middle-aged, the right. pregnant women. They kill the whole population, right? I mean, they don't really discriminate. Right. Here, all you do is kill vast majority of old people with a low life expectancy anyway, because they have diabetes and other ones. Now,
Most of them have like three. Okay, they found three. In Italy, they had at least three other underlying health issues.
So if that's your pool, if your pool is so small, the number of you killed, is it going to have a higher mortality rate than the ones in which affects huge month? And the answer is no, they're lying to you.
Right.
I mean,
well, there's a shock.
Well, you know, it's not that they're lying. They don't care.
Right.
You know, it just sounds better. Oh, yeah, this is going to be the greatest one since the Spanish influenza, and you can't use that word anymore.
Call it Spanish, just not Chinese. Well, that's just
No. They're changing it. They've demanded that all these sites that talk about Spanish influenza change.
I'm sorry, but everything that's going on, that's what we really need to be worrying about.
What do you think the Twitter people have to do?
Hey, we've got Michael Tao on with us. Michael Tao, he's been on the show before, mostly talking about, and we can maybe talk a little bit about the whole Russia hoax thing. But he's an investigative columnist. You see his work everywhere. A clearerpicture.net is his website. And Michael, you were working on an article you sent me that was just great, I think, looking at the numbers. So once again, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
So dazzle us with some of your numbers there.
Yeah, it's really incredible. We're essentially getting fed phony numbers, the most important ones. So we're getting numbers for death rates. And even Tucker Carlson, who's usually pretty on the ball, said, oh, no, you really have to be worried about this. The death rate is 3.4%
for
COVID-19. But for the flu, CDC, the Center for Disease Control, estimates it's 0.1%.
Right.
So I looked into this. The numbers are derived by totally different methods. Right,
apples and oranges.
Yeah, the COVID numbers, the coronavirus numbers, they're not death rates. So for the flu, what they do is they really try to find out the death rate. They estimate the number of people who have the flu. Which, by the way, at least 20,000 people have already died of the flu this season, according to the CDC. So they estimate, and not even 100 have died of corona, or some estimates a little over 160. So they estimate the number of people who have it. They put that below the denominator, and they on the top they put the number of deaths. They divide and they get it. But for corona, it's all the people who've been tested. They make no, and maybe they can't figure out how many people actually have it. Then they shouldn't call it the death rate. So all they do is they say, well, this number of people have been tested and they have a disease. Here's the number of people who died. We'll divide that by the number of people who.
Right. Well, and Michael,
percent of the cases don't have severe symptoms. So it's at least 5 times exaggerated just from that, because they're not missing any deaths with the heightened awareness. Not like
Right. Well, one of the things, and you know why the statistics are false is because, you know, I was saying this earlier, as a practical matter, the number of people who die from coronavirus is really limited. I mean, there are a few exceptions, but limited to people over 54.
Over
80, but if you take in some of the other ones, they're over 54 that have one or more complicating diabetes, respiratory, everything else. It has almost no effect on children, and almost no effect on people in their 20s and 30s. So you have the regular flu, which does hit young people,
yes,
does hit, I think, and hits the entire range, including older people. Now, that's one. Now, this other one just does the upper tier where they're less because people die during the conveyor belt of death. It is almost no chance that it has a higher mortality rate. And you're absolutely right. The only reason they're doing that because they're saying, okay, well, we tested. They don't test everybody for the regular flu. They guess how many people got the regular flu. Here's people actually tested, and voila, it's
well, and
much
they acknowledge,
higher.
I mean, as much, like, you can, as much as
you can even estimate, like, so South Korea, which is an advanced country with technology, and they've done the most testing out of the countries with a lot of things, they have a little bit below 1% rate.
Right.
So just that, you figure now 4/5 of the people had no symptoms. They didn't even get tested. So right now we're down. We're at 1 out of 500. Flu's 1 out of 1,000, and we haven't even factored in the number of people not tested.
Right.
But Chuck's absolutely right too. It's the flu has a, you have a chance of dying even if you're relatively younger. This, most of the average age of death is 80 years old. I don't mean to be callous, but a lot of those people would have been dead in a month anyway.
And that's, Michael, and that's my thing. And everybody who's, we've got some phone calls coming in, so hang on, because we'll get to the phone calls here in a second. But this is my question. And like I said, I fall into that at-risk category. I'm a boomer, so.
I don't.
Chuck does not. No, Chuck is, I robbed the cradle.
Chuck's from Krypton, though.
Yeah.
Technically true.
As long as the sun doesn't turn red, he's fine.
I got to, to me, it's like, are we sacrificing the economic health, so to speak, of one huge group of people for a little bit of an extended longevity of a very small group of people? And I'm going to say this, in Colorado, and my question is, why are we doing this? Because in Colorado, for instance, every year, 400 people die in car crashes, right?
Yes.
Which is more than are going to die of coronavirus. Or the, you know, so that, but no one says, well, we need to close all of the roads. We need to shut down highway transportation to preserve the lives of those 400 people who die in car crashes. Yeah. So I know you're right. It sounds so callous, but it's kind of like, well we're destroying. I mean, we were at the place the other day. One of the, it's a Bahama Bucks, right? It's a Kona ice cream place, right? And this guy is telling me it just opened like Friday. And it's like, this is my dream. I've been dreaming about this forever. It's this franchise. Yeah. And I'm like, we're destroying people's lives.
Lives, yes.
Economically and all kinds of businesses. We had with the newspaper, right? We had one business just went out of business because he said, I just don't have the energy to try to come out of this. Another one says, I'm going to have to file for bankruptcy. And yes, I mean, my parents were 80 and they died, but to me, we didn't do it with the flu, right?
We have we never don't do done it with auto deaths. We don't, no. But here's another one, just a cost benefit analysis. The people who it's killing are costing society huge amounts of money because they're medically, in many cases, indigent, and they have very serious ones of diabetes or respiratory and everything else. And so they're probably net, you know, you don't like to talk about lives as net, but as net, they are takers from the economy on Medicare or whatever else. Their death is not hurting the economy. It is enabling the economy. And but we're never allowed to discuss those things.
Right.
We have to pretend that the boomers, I mean, our problem is that, you know, all the leading politicians, with one or two exceptions in Washington, are septuagarians. And they're in their 70s. Like, oh, we got to stop it. Oh, no. You know, I mean, if
AOC, I think it's like, it's worse than even just the economic issues. Like, so I don't want de Blasio telling me when I can leave my house. Like, I don't want Mayor Kenny from Philadelphia. In Philadelphia now, they're releasing nonviolent, which includes, like, looters now. In Philadelphia, if you're arrested for looting, because that's nonviolent, you've been told you're not going to be put in jail. Like, you're going to be immediately processed and let free. Burglars in Philadelphia are going to be let free. I don't want Cuomo telling me that my business needs to shut down. So, you know, you said, oh, they don't do this for cars and they don't do this for maybe like a, so maybe at some point a Democrat's going to be in the White House. Why not? Global warming. It's a catastrophe. Yeah. Let's close everything down. All this stuff that there's no way to even, so it's unbelievable. Like, I just moved out of Philadelphia last year and the mayor there,
lucky you.
He's unbelievably bad. This guy you're going to give the authority to just wake up one morning with no chances of appeal and decide when you can leave your home and when your business can open. And everyone's going, yeah, it's like good. And people who aren't putting up with it, they're getting like all kinds of like negative feedback. Well, like you're risking us all.
Right.
I just keep thinking of that quote, whom the gods wish to destroy, they first make mad. I mean, that's the only thing.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, you always depress us. Well, you know, and there.
Wait. You know, one of the things that what I love about de Blasio is you can't go to a gym in New York, but he can go to his gym in New York. Oh, okay, I understand. You're the mayor. I mean, oh, yeah.
Hey, that's right. Great. Hang on for a second, Michael. We got Barney waiting because he's a truck driver, and I wanted to ask him about something too. So let's bring Barney on line one. Hey, Barney, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. Hey, Michael. Michael, by the way, you're one hyper spastic, whatever, but I love you. But I'm not hyper, just so you know. What do you have to ask me? Julie, never ask a truck driver a question.
Well, that's my question. I mean, in a way, you guys and the folks at the grocery stores are keeping this country single-handedly, in spite of the politicians, keeping this country
running. Oh, God, you're going to make me puke. You're going to make me puke. Shut up.
You're a hero.
You're a hero, Barney.
You're an American hero.
I would like to thank me for my service. Now, I would really like to save the port of entry offers. Just shut your port down. So I don't have to blow by it, okay? Just shut it down. You guys don't need to. Just shut it down. But let me say this. That Cuomo, you know what? You have to listen to that ass clown in your state. Did you hear how happy and elated he was that he could shut this down?
Yes.
And shut that down. And what a son of a – what a turd. But by the way, Mayor Cuomo – I went ahead and I was really desperate. I didn't have any ammo. I went ahead and got me 1,000 rounds.
That's it. Help the economy. Help the economy.
Exactly. But I may need 1,000 rounds to kill that deer because I'm not a very good shot. But Chuck and Julie, by the way, why is it that we can test every single NBA player right down to the cowboy, but we're not going to test anybody else? And then this butt clown on CNN gets up there and says, wait a minute. Oh, my God. We've gone up 10%, so 100 people died. 12 hours later, 10 more died. You're talking about 110 people have died from this pandemic? The pandemic is what you assholes are going to do to our economy with all
it's
your
a pansy-demic.
Crap.
It's a pansy-demic.
That's the other thing about...
Sorry, go ahead, Michael. Don't want to interrupt you.
You raise a good point about the rates. So I've been actually keeping track of the rates, and... it's too early to tell if it's a trend, but March 1st was the peak, and the percentages have been going down, trending downward since March 1st. The last 3 days have all been lower than any of the previous days since March 1st in terms of percentages.
Right.
The raws, and if you look at Korea and the other places where they're over the peak,
right.
The raw numbers tend to start going down about 2 or 3 weeks after the percentages start going down.
I think that's what happened with Italy. Today they were saying that Italy, it appeared, today was the first time they had seen it going down.
Yeah, so we've had so few people tested up until maybe last week it started to be more.
But
the initial numbers may not matter, but every day it's been like the trend is downward, like there's occasional up and then down in terms of the percentages.
Yeah, so, Barney, go ahead, Barney.
I think Trump is very smart to not let people in China.
Yeah, go ahead, Barney.
Okay, so we're talking about a country that has 325 million flipping people. So you're right. You talk about numbers and percentages, but they're really irrelevant. Like with even Italy, don't get me wrong, 2,000 people is a lot of people, but not, you know, even in the
US, 60 million people, Italy has.
Yeah.
60 million people. So give me a break. But with all these, I swear to God, they're loving this, and they're just loving scaring the hell out of people. And I'm just not buying it. And I will say that, look, you guys are not, you can't even test what they have done in South Korea. So, you know what? The numbers just don't pan out. Like you say with the flu. What is it? It's 16 to 30,000 people die a year from the flu, and you're not doing it. How many veterans have died from suicide?
Yeah.
Is it three a day or something that commits suicide?
You're right. Maybe we should just cancel war, huh? Yeah.
Well, maybe
the opioid crisis. How many people are dying?
Every day around the world, 150 million people die. 150,000 people die every day somewhere in the world. and most of them older. And you kind of go, well, let's forbid death. That's the
right,
key.
Let's pass
we need Jared Polis and others.
To prevent, yeah. Hey, Barney, thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Barney.
Stay safe out there. Well, so Michael, let me ask you this, because we had Dr. Brian Jundep on the other day, and he does columns in American Thinker, and he's a physician here in Denver. And he said, you know, the one thing that's different in this case is now Donald Trump is president. I mean, and I think there is something to that. I think there's something to this general hysteria. Why do you think, because as we pretty clearly spelled out, when you look at the numbers, this is not any worse, certainly, and maybe not even close to being as bad as some of the other things where we don't shut the whole world down. Why now?
Well, I mean, certainly the fact that the bad orange man is taking Hillary Clinton's rightful place in the White House is having an effect on everything. I mean, there's these incredible, so they hardly ever mention that a lot of people are walking around who aren't sick with the disease, who don't get tested. The one time they do mention it, they quote this doctor from, there's a lot of articles quoting this doctor from Johns Hopkins, who actually he's an abdominal surgeon. He's not even an epidemiologist. And his numbers are inconsistent. You start to add it up and they literally don't make any sense. Right. But he's saying, oh, there's like 50 a million people maybe, or 500,000 people, whatever it is, who have it or walking around. And they never say, but that means it's not so severe. But they always say, he pointed to the lack of testing kits as the reason people aren't testing. Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. So they always make it a point to not only alarm people with news that actually is good news, not bad news, but to mention Trump. So that's certainly, to me, there's a number of things going on. I mean, none of them really add up maybe to the whole thing, because the whole thing is
crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy. But there's Trump is in the White House, so they want to make him look bad. These politicians, they've gotten worse. Like we used to have, I'm not in Philadelphia anymore, but there used to be bad mayors, but Kenny and de Blasio in New York, these guys are like,
out of control.
It's really degenerated to like, the dead bodies at the bottom of the gene pool, just like worthless.
Well, also, you have to understand the media, and I own a local newspaper, and our lead thing is the coronas, right? I mean,
coronavirus.
Coronavirus, and corona beer. Coronavirus. And because you have to cover it, right? You have to hype it.
And they're irresponsible. I saw an article last night. I almost couldn't sleep after I saw it. I was so angry. The New York Post says, we've got 100 new cases today. And then they quote de Blasio. It's unbelievable. 100 cases. It means nothing. Without knowing how many cases you started with, if you had for South Korea, 100 is low now. For other places, it's high, depending where you are. So they had 900 the day before. That's 10%. I've looked at all the countries and the curves. If you're down to 10% for a bunch of days in a row, you're over the hump.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing too. You're right.
So they're going hysterical at some absolute 500 number, and it means like
nothing.
And it literally means like it's like I'm breeding horses. I had five. I had five today. Well, how many female horses do you have? One or 1,000. Difference, right?
It
depresses, and it's the same thing with every. And to me, it's really you can't. People don't with jobs and families don't have time, and a lot of people don't even have the skill if they did, but they definitely don't have time to sort through all this.
Right.
If the media is going to be so irresponsible to literally compare flu death rates to COVID death rates, and it turns out that the numbers have no comparison, that they're not even factored the same way, then we're like, the best you can hope for is a benign or not too malignant monarch takes over.
Because you can't have
a democracy and when the media, you know, on the other subject, just quoting Mueller, not like being at all skeptical when it's obvious to be skeptical. So I just think that's a lot of it, that everything is degenerated. There was never a golden age of journal. I mean, Evelyn Waugh
in the
20s and 30s was writing about the same hacks, lazy hacks who make stuff up. Going back to the novelist Anthony Trollope in like 1870, he's writing about journalists in the same way. But it's definitely gotten kind of even worse and dumbed down. So yeah, I think that's a lot of it. And I don't see how we can survive really as a country when they're just peddling these lies.
Well, then you
and
don't
misinformation.
Know. And you look, so people they don't trust the president, they don't trust Congress, they particularly don't trust the media, because it just becomes so difficult to know. And again, and I just go back to, and it is so callous, and you're not supposed to say this out loud, but again, we're talking about the at-risk people, of which we fall into that category, does not have that lengthy of a life expectancy anyway. And so so we're destroying lives, we're destroying an economy, we're destroying people's
dreams.
People's dreams, you know.
I had a failing business. It's horrible. I owned a coffee shop at one point.
Right.
It's a very awful experience. And we're inflicting this. To me, the economics is even less than that, really.
Let me ask you this. And I just drove by four or five golf courses. And we got a lot of them around here. We live on one and we belong to another. Why are they closed down? I mean, you're not going to have 10 or more people gathering, right? you're not going to be around, more than one person. You're out on, 200 acres.
Probably the safest place you could be.
Yeah. Closing them down. Why? I understand, maybe the Kentucky Derby or something, but a stupid golf course that probably doesn't have 200 people on it.
It probably has
one per acre on it.
But if you buck this tide at all, like, so they're now, the kids went on spring break, right. And you're everybody's right. like right. freaking out about 19-year-olds who really are not at risk even if they
at
get
all. At all.
Yeah, like they'd have
to. They're more likely to die from a stubbed toe.
Well, or alcohol poisoning.
Or they'd have to be hit by a car. That's the other thing. Even with the flu death rates, if you get hit by a car, go to the hospital, and wind up dying and getting the flu and dying in the car accident, you're a flu death. Death rates are the whole thing is unreal on a certain extent. Like Barney said, 100 people are dead in the United States,
Woo-hoo.
And we're doing all this, really? And if you object to it, you're some kind of evil person who's inflicting everything and everybody
and
else.
And one-fifth of those died in one home in Washington.
That's
exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
And again, it's unbelievable. Every day I look at and everybody can do the same thing. They're publicly out there. You can look at the rates. The percentages are actually trending downward now for 2 weeks in the United States. That may not be indicative. Maybe it's just a fluke. We'll see in the next week. And that says more testing kits have been available.
Right.
And here's another lie that we in the media are telling you. that masks rated N95 or better are ineffective for preventing the coronavirus. No, they're not. They're incredibly effective preventing the coronavirus. Are they foolproof?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Are they guaranteed? No, nothing's guaranteed.
But why are those healthcare workers wearing them?
But they tell you, no, it doesn't do you any good. You kind of go, you're lying. You get N95 better, you've got a real good chance that even if you're in contact with somebody with coronavirus, you're not going to catch it. Now, it could get through or you could kind of touch it. There are lots of things you can do to screw it up. But they're incredibly effective. Why are they telling people they're ineffective? I don't know.
I saw articles telling people, and I couldn't believe it. I had to read them and find out what the claim was, that experts say that Trump's travel ban will make it worse. And I look at the article, and the entire argument that's going to make it worse is the economic damage caused by the travel ban is somehow – in some way they don't explain, something, it doesn't get explained, magical bullshit the place explains it, that the economic damage is going to somehow make us less effective at harming. So I'm like, I think the China travel ban was incredibly wise, right, in January 31st.
Right.
The countries that have had the problems have had a lot of traveling from China. If you don't, people said viruses don't obey borders. That's exactly why you have a travel ban, because people
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Like the whole
exactly.
thing is like, makes
all right,
sense.
Let's get Father Hugh on.
Let me do this, because Michael, we gotta let you go because we have another guest come on at 3:30. So thank you, clearpicture.net. All right.
Great to talk to you, Michael.
Great to talk to you guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Love your. We'll get Father Hugh on, and then we'll go to Matt Arnold with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. How is
but
that?
Be sure. I always forget this, but we're halfway through, so I want to just emphasize how much I love Colorado Citizens Press. It is just a wonderful blog site. You got to listen to it. You got to go to it. And they got a great little survey to take. It polls his asinine edicts destroying the Colorado economy. And boy, it's just going to start rolling, rippling more and more. But you get all the truth and all the news at Colorado
Citizen Press. And,
but for more truth, let's go to Father Hugh on line one.
Hey, Hugh, good afternoon.
Hi, Julie and Chuck. Chuck and Julie, just a couple of things. And so you'll understand my mood. I was listening to Sean, of course, but before you came on. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening, and this person that's on there is droning on, and I know I'm on safe ground with Julie particularly, and it goes on and on and on, and platitudes, and the history of the world, and whatever. Pence, he's just unbelievable. And, I mean, if anybody, he can use more words to say that. And what it was, Enoch used to say to me in German, with the history of the world is Weltgeschichte. And Enoch, when I would be droning on, Enoch would say, Hugh, we don't need the Weltgeschichte. But it's Trump, whatever. Anyway.
No, you know what? One thing in a way. And I love his program, but sometimes I kind of go, I think I've heard this spiel before, like 200 times yesterday. I mean,
yeah. But more to the point, two things, two little tiny points. One morphs into a kind of a cosmic point. First of all, took a course called Ren and Ref, Renaissance and Reformation, taught by Hannah Gray, brilliant woman. And she used to like to startle people by telling them. And the theme of this is, it always comes from the East. And I don't know that you knew this, syphilis didn't arrive in the West until the Renaissance. That's one little piece. Second piece, more cosmic, is, of course, as you know, it was the Black Plague that brought an end to, the scholars call it, the medieval consensus. And but the lesson really was, in some respects, the medieval consensus already had begun to dissolve. And my concern on the broader front is we don't have a consensus. And thank God Trump is doing his best. But, you know, as long as you have people like Nancy Pelosi, you know, who's trying to use the reappropriations bill.
She's a Borgia. Talking about the, yeah. She's a Borgia.
I mean, you thing. And I often fantasize that, you know, she's so devout, and we got to get the Bishop of San Francisco to call her in.
Right.
She one little thing, but.
Well, one other thing, Hugh, just for you, because your course is called Renaissance and Reformation. I started reading, and I never read it before, John Calvin's Institutes. It's a 2-volume tome. And it's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to read.
Yeah.
Chuck's wondering. Hey, Hugh, we got to go to Matt Arnold. Thank you for listening. So keep listening.
Okay, well, just turning on the library card. Bye.
Okay, Chuck is answering his phone. Don't pay any attention. Maybe it's Polis's people. They're going to shut down our show. So what we're going to do now is we're going to switch gears a little bit, although I kind of want to get Matt Arnold's take on this. And Matt, I don't know if you can see, there's a little video camera icon at the bottom of your screen, and you should be able to click on that, and then you will appear visually if you want, and then you got to unmute yourself too. If you don't want to, that's okay too. Uh-oh, did we lose Mike? Did we lose him? Oh, there you are. There we got Matt Arnold with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. Matt, I think I've only like seen you once in person, so hi.
Hi.
Thanks for your time. Wait, unmute yourself. Can you unmute your, there you go.
Yep, I thought
there you go. There you go. You're shining.
Hey, so
all right, we just have to be smarter than the technology.
Yeah. Exactly. Either that or get a fourth grader down there with you to do that. So, you know, kind of weigh in. I wanted to talk Colorado politics too, because I want to kind of broaden it. But what your take on it? I'd be curious just to see what you think about the sort of the total shutdown of the Colorado economy.
I think this is mind-numbingly crazy. People have lost their freaking minds. This is, I get the concern, you know, the Kung Flu, the Flu Manchu, the Wuhan virus.
I thought that was kind of funny, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Joshua Sharp put out a whole list of pretty funny names for this thing, and it sounded pretty good. But, you know, look, it is, It is a highly contagious virus. Got it. So is the common flu. The number of people who will be seriously affected by this is relatively small.
Right.
It is something that reasonable measures should be taken, absolutely. Yes. But what we're seeing here is such an incredible overreaction by our state government and by our city governments that is absolutely going to be many times worse than the worst possible impact of this virus. It is absolutely murdering the economy in the state. People are going to be losing their jobs, their livelihoods. Businesses.
Thousands already have. Thousands already have. The unemployment claims are just climbing and climbing and climbing.
I mean, it closed down the system. What do you think?
Well, here's the one thing they do it in the cities. You know, Denver does it. Well, there's a remedy because everybody can go someplace else if they want to go to a bar or a restaurant. So, but when you close down the whole state, unless you're near the Wyoming or Utah border or something, you know, you're trapped. I mean, it's Polis, and he doesn't care. You know, if you're willing to throw away $20 million on your campaign, I mean, you know, and he's kind of, well, the internet's still working. That's where I made my million. So the hell with everybody else.
Yes, it's a darn shame we can't actually hold these politicians personally liable and accountable for this stuff. No. I think, hey, look, if Polis wants to murder the economy, then he should start writing checks from his personal bank account.
I agree.
Well, and I'm going to say something on this right now. Because this is something we're going to be keeping an eye on, because now we'll shift over into money. But Polis has set up, the state government has set up a fund, right? So you can go there and you can contribute and donate and stuff like that. The last time they set this up, it was for the Aurora Theater shooting victims, right? Hickenlooper set up a fund. And we did a number of stories on that. Guess where all the money, and until people started screaming and hollering, did any of the actual Aurora Theater shooting victims get any money? No, it was going to consultants and therapists that they didn't even get to pick. The state was handing that money to their, and literally they were friends of Hickenloopers until people started
screaming.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so I'm just going to say, you know what, maybe don't donate to the Polis fund. Go ahead and just go.
Well,
how about your neighborhood?
Well, the good part about it, it'll go to all the deserving Republican consultants are going broke. So
let's talk about that, Matt. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, Colorado politics. Where is the money coming from? Where is the money going? What do people need to know?
Or at least for Republicans, because they have.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of money flowing around in politics, and it always reminds me of the old joke about, you know, the kid coming up to his dad and saying, "Hey, Dad, you know, when I grow up, I want to go into organized crime." And he says, "Really, private or public sector?" Because let's face it, the mafia are pikers compared to the amount of money that is flowing in and out of government and elected officials and political campaigns. If you want to know where the real money is happening, that's where it is. Because there's so much to be bought. I mean,
the
government that is able to murder an economy, like we're seeing, clearly influencing who gets to be the murderer is a pretty good bang for your buck.
Well, let me ask you this question. Now, we were all told that Cory Gardner was going to run this huge. He had all the money in the world. He had it from the chambers. He had it from the being the head of the Senate campaign in the last election. He's got it from the dope dealers and the marijuana people. And then he's down to, you know, having parties over at Larry Mizell's house, and he has to have Trump there in order to bring anybody in.
Canceled.
Yeah, it had to be canceled. But I mean, I thought he was so rich we didn't have to worry about it. No ads. All he does is get pounded every day on television.
They're
ads.
Waiting.
Yeah, they're waiting. What are they waiting for? I mean, they don't have any money. I mean, are they all?
Well, I don't know if they have money. There's certainly a lot of money in those coffers. The problem is that you might as well just light it on fire, as you've been saying for the last several years.
Yeah.
They're going to waste it on the same old crony consultants that will run big mail campaigns, and oh, by the way, they happen to own the mailhouse, so they're pocketing a big chunk of that change. They'll run ineffective TV and radio ads that, you know, I hate to knock radio, that's probably actually the most bang for your buck, but they'll run huge, you know, big TV ad buy campaigns, which people are just going to tune out if they even see them. And again, all the crony consultants get a nice slice off the top of that.
Right.
So a number of people will get rich from this, but it will be ineffective. And everything they should have been done is, as a number of people point out, Sue Beckman made this a focus of her run for state party chair. George Athanasopoulos has been talking about this for years. The lack of building up the ground game where the Democrats and the leftist machine has stolen the march for years, and the Republicans are feckless. They just do not get the fact that this is a different type of political warfare, and they're getting their hats handed to them year after year after year.
Well, let me,
the same mistake with the same stupid loser.
We went to our local caucus, and we volunteered to be. And we were the biggest caucus. There were six of the precincts that had nobody there. I mean, none, wow. Zero.
Which is not atypical for a normal year anyway, but I'm sure that the turnout was even, depressed more by the rumors of the...
So there was nobody else. Yeah, I got chosen by the masses to be a delegate to the county convention, whoopee. And they said, okay, we need some, PCPs, or precinct committee person. Right. And so I eventually felt guilted, so I raised my hand. And the reason I raised my hand and agreed to do it was that I wanted to be one of those guys in, shoveling the coal for the engines into the SS Titanic as it heads down the I really wanted to see what is the ground game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is the Republican ground? The Republican ground game, as it is set up today, assuming they have one, right? They find somebody there to do it, is just to go to your usual voters and make them feel better. It's not to find out unaffiliated voters. It is not to find out people. They don't give you any statistics on half and people are voting, right? So you go to some houses and say, hey, we need you to vote. No, you get all the houses in which they're going to vote no matter what. I mean, that's the ground game. They don't have it. There is no Republican Party. There really isn't a Republican Party in the state.
But
what Republican Party there was has been destroyed by a succession of absolutely abysmal leadership.
Yes.
Going back at least as far as Ryan Call's three loser terms.
Yes.
And Steve House, did not write that ship. Jeff Hayes goes down as the biggest loser in the history of state Republican politics. We haven't had losses like that since, 1932? And Jeff Hayes not only presided over it, he was a big part of the cause of all that with his support for 207 and 208, which ripped the guts out of what ground game they possibly might have had.
Right.
He threw that away.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this too, because you've done some good work basically trying to force some, the Bob O'Pray people, the Pioneer Action Committee, forcing them to be at least, call it crazy, but transparent, right? They spend more money fighting you about having to be transparent. You keep winning in the courts, by the way. So congratulations.
And
they got
to pay your fees.
And I was hopeful that after this last debacle, that they would, that some of the donors would say, why are we hiring these people? They're not doing. And so I was hoping that maybe they would wise up, but we had a meeting not that long ago with some other folks and they said, no, same group, same group, hiring the same group of donors, bundling money for this, being bundled by the same people, hiring the same. What is going on? Am I right on that?
Yeah, from what I've been able to find out, and again, I haven't been digging as deeply into it yet this election cycle, but it's the same crony consultants, the Andy Georges and Michael Fortneys and Kelly Myers and Josh Penneries and Tyler Sandberg of the world, who are repeat losers. They are losers, but they keep funneling money up their posteriors to keep them in the lifestyles of the rich and famous to which they become accustomed. And meanwhile, they continue to lose and cede the ground to the left, which is pretty much dominating the state. And it's a sad thing to watch because, again, there are people out there with better ideas. There are people out there who have been trying to raise the alarm for more than a decade.
Right.
And unfortunately, because they don't have the access to these access donors and cannot, promise the access to the access donors continue to funnel the money up the posteriors of the people who they know or with whom they have connections.
Right.
And, they might as well just, saying this for years, they might as well just take that money, pile it up in a big pile, douse with gasoline and light it on fire, because at least they'll have a bit of temporary warmth and entertainment watching the dancing flames.
Well, the Anschutzes and the Coors and the Stevensons and all, they're not stupid people. And they figured out that at this point, the Republican Party is functionally worthless and are indirectly funding Democrats in order to get access to
The access donors typically will give money to both sides. Just
right, and they've just increased the percentage to the Democrats. And Ted Trimpa, Arcana Oil is, they pour him money and everything else. So they're not stupid, but they keep on giving money in order to make sure that the grassroots don't take over this whatever, this wrecked out car for fear that they might jazz up the engine or something.
And so actually they win.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just, and anybody who runs against the Steve House or something, they try to destroy, like Casper Stockholm. I mean, it's amazing to watch. So, and here's what the Republicans do down at the legislature, and there's some great ones now down at the legislature. Republicans.
There are a few very good ones down there.
Yeah, is they try to get as much money to CDOT as they can, who use all the money to buy it for bike lanes and other garbage. I mean, it's just, they kind of, okay, I'll give you the heroin injection sites and
bike lanes.
I'll give you another $10 million.
Shut down that gap project in 2025.
Yeah, and I'll give you more money for Planned Parenthood and perverted sex education, but you got to give me another $100,000 to go to the CDOT head. I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is insane. And, it's just remarkable. And again, the thing that really is, for those of us who are, count ourselves in the grassroots, to see that, grassroots organizations who could build a ground game, who could actually get out there and do some of that effective marketing at the local level, who could actually expand the profile and the share of voters with minimal investment, are getting completely cut out. And meanwhile, some of the same crony consultants are, having largesse bestowed upon them, keeping their, six-figure salaries and seven-figure houses well maintained.
Yeah. And they're
but
losing.
They're not being effective in where they're
well, but as well, a practical matter, as a practical matter, when our junior senator leaves, they will really be nothing left for the consultants.
Yeah, but yes, you think. Yeah,
there'll be nothing left. And so they will go back into used car sales or wherever they originally came from.
Well, and they spend time. This kills me, man, because I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the success that you've had. What they do is they spend time trashing you rather than just saying, if you're Bob O'Prey, that just be transparent as a law, or just change the law. If you don't like the law, try to change it. But rather than just following the law, being transparent about who's giving you money, they spend all of their time and energy trashing people like you who are trying to hold them accountable. And it's like, they probably have spent more money trashing you. They could have got a couple of house districts elected or maybe funded,
And where does it come from?
They don't want us to know.
Well, no, we all know where it comes from. I mean, Colorado Politics / Colorado Springs Gazette is one that loves to trash Matt. Yep. I mean, they just love
grassroots, yeah.
And where does that money come? Well, we know where it comes from. It comes from Phil Anschutz.
Right.
So you to him anyway, are far more of a threat that you might put
us. Coronavirus.
Well, no, that then whatever the Democrats are doing, because they almost never go against Democrats.
Because they can get access to the Democrats. They can work out a deal with those folks. They can't work out a deal with people who actually have sip from the Kool-Aid, who actually believe in what the rhetoric is all about, who actually understand that, hey, our principles of limited government and liberty actually do, or at least should mean something. And, to them, you're crazy people. You're an ideologue. You're not pragmatic.
Yeah.
You won't go along to get along. What is wrong with you? Why aren't you playing ball?
Right. And like you said, and they have enough money that they can give. I mean, we saw this with Colorado Peak Politics, which is a conservative blog site.
Well,
not a conservative.
Well,
Shyster Factory.
All right. I stand corrected, obviously. But the day after Polis was elected, they said, we can work with Polis.
Of course we can work with Polis. Yeah, we can work. They'll make it 500 yard setbacks instead of 450. We can do it.
Well, maybe just a couple more questions, and then to bring it back around to where we started, I think that this, the lack of, I think, then practical grassroots kind of people helps get us to where we are today with our whole economy, as you said, being murdered. There was no one there who was going to be supported or can stand up and say, wait a minute, do we have to close all of the restaurants? Maybe we should just have elderly people.
How about those counties which have no coronavirus? How about them? Can we close them? Oh yeah, we got to close them. And we got to close all the
schools.
All the schools. In fact, the teachers are demanding now that, they close
them
for many of the year.
Paid,
but they're not going to take a cut. What they're demanding in the in their care for the children is that they get a 6-month vacation. I mean, they're unbelievable. The greed.
Yeah. And I certainly have some sympathy for you know, real teachers and real educators. There are a bunch out there, and there are folks that are really trying very, very hard.
Yes.
To work through this process. But there are several, you know, there's a lot of free riders out there, and there are definitely a lot of folks that just want to get the paycheck and aren't too concerned whether or not they're actually, you know, teaching kids or even, you know, particularly what they're teaching kids. That's certainly a problem. and you know, developing them. I mean, that's an incredibly important job. And I totally get that.
And but that's why it ought to be privatized.
What we've seen in this latest bit they're trying to do with murdering the economy.
Yes.
Is what are they going to replace it with? They're going to replace it with more opportunities for dependency, more people yes. dependent on government, more people dependent on government handouts and bailouts and rescues and everything else. This is all a situation created by government overreach, and they are demolishing the ability of people to be active, to take care of themselves. And in the political realm, you know, why they've come after me and what they've done with our campaign finance laws, they've taken the individual, the private citizen out of the equation and right. brought it back in under their little crony cabal. So they'll sort of, again, provide the illusion of law, the illusion of accountability, while ensuring that no one is ever really held accountable.
Has Bob Rupert ever paid his fine? Has that fine been paid, or are they spending more money fighting
or haven't you
paying
fees?
The fine?
Well, yeah. So they did pay the fine, the Beaupre thing, the Color Pioneer Action did, but only because when I won the case, when CIW won the case back, God, it's been 2 years now, it's been a while, and they did not pay, they filed the appeal, then CIW filed an action with Denver District Court to enforce the judgment. And as part of that enforcement action, they were forced to post a bond, a superseded uh-huh. bond. Mm-hmm. So when the appellate decision was finally announced in May of last year, then they had to actually pay that from the bond. They still have not fully complied with the orders of the court.
Of course not.
They have not properly registered the committee. They have not filed all the reports as per the order of the court. So that enforcement action is still active. It's been reactivated because of their failure to simply comply with the law. It would have been so simple. Look, they already lost everything. The information is, you know, you can access it if they have it. So there's no reason not to file the report and do it the right way. But they have obstinately dug in their heels, again, fighting something that they simply could have just complied with the law. And at that point, you know, it's like, hey, look, you know, I'm giving you all the rope you need to either tie it up in a nice little bow or hang yourselves. They chose to hang themselves.
Yeah.
They chose to fight it. And we're currently engaged in yet more court action. Suzanne Steyert, who was Deputy Secretary of State, is now representing Bob's little crony group.
We've had her on the program.
Her hirelings to dismiss a follow-up complaint against the group. The people she hired at the Secretary of State's office dismissed the complaint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So that, of course, is yet another appeal that had to be filed. So eventually this will get before a real judge, and once again, they'll lose. But it'll drag on for months and years, and that's just kind of the way they do business.
Well, do you think Polis realizes, I mean, he can get out there and give a great news conference and force all these semi-comatose cabinet members to stand behind him and you know, make these broad proclamations which go in effect right away, you know, all bars.
Yeah, like at 8 tonight, yeah.
All this, all that, no ski slopes, you know, go to Wyoming, go to Utah, not
yes.
here.
King Jared the First.
Yeah, King yeah. Jared the First. Does King Jared the First realize that he will not be able to restart the economy like that? When he says, okay, all the ski areas can open, you kind of go, it's summertime. yeah. You know, he's going to tank the economy. And unlike Trump, let's say, who can throw out a $1 trillion stimulus, which will be $1 trillion more than debt. He can't deficit spend.
No.
And he's going to lose a lot of his tax revenues and all his little programs. But he announced, all right, you know, it's everybody can go back to.
Don't need to have the legislature come back because they don't have any money.
He has no ability to jumpstart the economy, unlike where you can deficit spend. And he's going to find out that he's destroyed the economy with no capacity to bring it back up. Luckily, I suppose, we have some national CEOs, because that $1 trillion bonus is going to go to all Democrats and CEOs, and the rest of us will see nothing.
And we got, man, we got like 3 minutes left. We'll have to let you have a final word here.
Well, just stay tuned. Again, I do have a number of appellate cases. They're all fully briefed. We're waiting for the decision to be rendered. If, as I certainly believe and hope, the result is that I prevail in those cases, that will overturn this little constitutional coup that was instituted by former Secretary Wayne Williams and perpetuated by current Secretary Jenna Griswold to rob the people of Colorado the one avenue we have had to hold these politicians accountable. So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, I wait week for week to see what the Colorado Court of Appeals comes up with if they if and when they announce the decision. So if and when they do announce the decision, I'll definitely have to get back to you guys, explain what happened, and again, hopefully the people of Colorado will once again have some avenue, some way to hold these law-breaking scumbag politicians and crony consultants accountable when they're breaking the law and trying to buy government and basically hire the murderers of our economy, which they've done with way too much success over the last several years.
All right. Matt, thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
You guys have a good one.
You too. Thank you for zooming in. Hey, we're going to have to, my apologies to Ben. I see Ben is there, but Ben, well, maybe we got like 30 seconds. Can you join us for 30 seconds there, Ben?
Sure. I just wanted to give a shout out, I guess, to Matt. I used to go to Matt's website for Clear the Benches, Colorado.
Yeah, it
was excellent. Yes. And I have been trying to, I've been trying to support him in buying one of his shirts with that logo on there for years. I've asked him several times for a red one, but he just doesn't have red ones. And so I just say, Matt, get me a red one, will you?
Well, we're not. Ben, thank
you.
Well,
we came out with Clear Liberty Yellow. Clear the Bench Colorado, by the way, is still out there. We will have information on the judges who will be on the 2020 ballot.
Okay.
That will be done over the summer. But yes, definitely stay tuned and pay attention, because there are certainly a lot of things going on.
Any chance of getting a red one?
Yeah, yes. we'll have to look into that. Red's really not my color, so.
Okay, well, there you go. Thanks, guys.
It amazes me how Republicans have allowed the traditional color of communism be slapped on Republicans. It boggles the mind. I mean, they keep, we're red state. We want to make Colorado red again. It's like, what?
Marxist Leninist.
Hey guys, we got to go. Thank you. Thank you to Matt. Thank you to Michael. Thank you to Ben, Barney, and Hugh, everybody calling. ChuckandJulie.com is where you can go. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can catch all the podcasts there.
And Colorado Citizen Press. You want to go to that? It's a great new blog.
All right. Thanks to the guys at BBS. We will see you all on Friday.